morning and welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. So happy to have you with us today. This is your host today, Dr. Rick Klopfine. Temple of Health Radio Show is brought to you by Plasticosa Millennium Healthcare. Now, this is the medical practice I work for. My name again is Dr. Rick Klopfine. I'm a board certified gynecologist, board certified in holistic medicine. I've been practicing in Atlanta for several decades. The reason I love our show is that we get to talk to people. When I read books that fascinate me, we get to talk to that individual and get to know them for an entire hour. So the topics tend to be topics that interest myself and my usual co-host, Dr. Susan Kolb, relative to our professional and our personal lives. Usually ranges from topics of medicine, conventional medicine, alternative healing, spiritual medicine, metaphysics, shamanism, spirituality, the intersection between spiritual life and health, lots of topics like that. So it pleases me to have the guest today, Peter Francis Jubin. His book is Consciousness is All. Now Life is Completely New. The second revised edition is out. Also speaking about a very interesting article by him, The New True Infinity. A new definition of infinity puts some long-pondered questions in a new light and provides a startling look at reality. So I must say that I think that Peter Jubin has taken on a daunting task. A daunting task because he has taken the role, if I understand it right, and he'll correct me if I'm not right, of trying to take a particular sense of reality, and in some cases an experience of reality, that moves, that views things in a completely different way than we do in our normal, ordinary waking state of being. It's the experience of the unitive nature of the reality of the world, sometimes expressed in different ways in different religions as cosmic consciousness, samadhi, enlightenment, the experience that is, moves completely beyond the duality of this world, the experience that is beyond the ability of our five senses. It is a sensation that's beyond our five senses, a awareness of being beyond our five senses. And trying to take that, those types of images, philosophical thoughts, and put them in the English language. Now, this is a very challenging task.
You're not
kidding.
This
is like taking a beach full of sand and putting it into a matchbox. And he has done a very interesting task of expressing this in a clear, thought out, and systematic way. Am I anywhere on the, in the realm of what this is all about?
No, Rick. You're right on. I think that's a very good description, and particularly as you were hinting at there, it's as if you're trying to use words to, as so often is said, point to that which is utterly beyond words, and the minute a word is attempted to, you know, used in an attempt to describe it, it's already off to some extent. So that's what we're faced with, but that's, we acknowledge that, and we just proceed as best we can. And the fascinating thing there is that despite the inadequacy of words, somehow, some way, this something, this indefinable something, gets somehow conveyed to the one reading. And it's to me, it's just indicative of the if you want to say universal or all universality or the all presentness of this consciousness or awareness or alive beingness, presence, whatever term you want to, you know, put on it. And that's how it can get be clear what is being said, even though all the words are off all along the way.
And like you said, it's what we have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really one's true nature, pre, it's what you are pre all the thoughts and feelings and sensations about what you are.
So help me a little bit here with how to best introduce your work to our listening audience.
Sure. Right now, and I would urge anyone listening to not just take my word for this or your word for this, but to just do a little sort of inquiry or examination right where they are. And certainly right now there is this thing we call consciousness or awareness. If one were not aware right now, there wouldn't even be any sort of cognition of being. You couldn't even say you are to be getting this or be confused by it or whatever. There's this thing we call awareness or presence or life, aliveness. And when one examines, and it's kind of like taking inventory, what one is dealing with moment to moment in their own, what they might call their experience, we have this stuff we call awareness, and then there are other things which we might call sensations, such as the audio sense or the sense of hearing. It sounds like there's a voice going on right now to the listeners. And along with that, there's a visual sensation of some kind of image, wherever of the body might appear to be seated right now. There's tactile sensations, feeling of touch. Maybe a body is seated on a chair or in a car listening to this or wherever it might be. There's a sense of smell and sense of taste. Those are the five basic sensations. In addition to that, there are thoughts. Right now, these very words being conveyed might stir up certain thoughts or concepts related to them. That's inevitable. And then there also are basically feelings, meaning emotions, feelings of anything from normal everyday stuff to happiness, anger, frustration, kind of a feeling of blah. It could be a whole spectrum of emotional things. Those are the main ones. And then there are more subtle ones on a more sort of subtle energy level that I won't go into. But across the board, with every single one of those types of experience or phenomena, always it is something one seems to be aware of or seems to be conscious of. And there also is this other that is aware of the sensation, it seems to be, or the thought. And it's not the same thing as the thought. That which is aware of the thought is not the thought itself. And another piece of it is that these phenomena, whether it's the sensation of sound, let's say, they're always changing, shifting, coming and going. Same thing with thoughts, as any of us, I'm sure have noticed in our everyday experience. And they're not permanently present, is another way of putting it. And neither are the thoughts. And we a lot of the time during the day, we tend to identify with or as our thoughts, but that's not really who we are. They're just passing things. Because if you were your thoughts, when the thoughts left, you would go too. But there's this other you that remains. And the body, too, in its entirety, is always something one is aware of. It is not the awareness that is aware of the body. And that's who you, so to speak, really are.
So this is really a huge topic.
Oh, yeah.
The idea of consciousness. And what consciousness is beyond all the thought perceptions and the thoughts, but the perceiver and the consciousness.
Yes.
And what the relationship is of consciousness to the physical body. Conventional, rational, reductionist thinking states that the brain is the source of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And but there is absolutely, in the scientific literature or medical literature, there's zero proof of that.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
You know, the brain could just be as much a receiver, transceiver, or not.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no proof that consciousness is limited to the physical body.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
In Consciousness Is All, there are a couple of chapters devoted to sort of walking the reader through experiential examples of that. And one of them is to show that very clearly that consciousness, it's what we call consciousness, or more and more I like a word like presence, because when terms like consciousness and awareness are used, so often, instantly, there's a thought that basically we're thinking in terms of what we seem to be conscious of and not pure consciousness itself. And again, through some just basic inquiry, one can determine or see for oneself that consciousness itself has no form. It is not observable. It is, it's very, to the mind, the thinking, sensing mind that wants to grasp and get stuff, get a handle, consciousness, pure consciousness, awareness, or presence is totally elusive. It's like it's invisible. And that's a good thing, actually, because it's an indication of the unlimitedness of consciousness, the unconfinableness, which is you, really, in your true sense. One should not be frustrated that one can't grasp consciousness. There's nothing with any kind of form about it to be grasped, that can be grasped. So that's the good news, in a sense. And as you said, it can't be said to be bound inside anything, including a body or a brain.
It seems that many of the spiritual traditions that focus more on mystical or personal experience and experience of the presence, lots of the practices, if you look at them cross-culturally and over historically, it seems that many of the practices all have to do with quieting the mind to the point that it's not what one is being conscious of that is being experienced, but it is just the consciousness.
Good point. Yeah,
that is being experienced. And this is true for, like, you know, all the meditative practices, prayer practices, devotional practices, aesthetic practices, practices that involve, you know, things like vision quests and even some sacred plant medicines and all different methods that oftentimes, if you look at them beyond the details of the differences of religion and culture and time period, all have to do with moving beyond moving beyond the door of duality of the thinking mind.
Yes, right. It's almost as if what we call the day-to-day world of the senses and the mind is something that seems to be superimposed on this pure presence or presentness that is ever present, very much like we've all probably heard the analogy of same way that sort of the images on a movie screen are superimposed on the screen, but and we get caught up in all that movement and activity and change and commotion going on among those images in everyday life too, but what's of real substance and presence there is the screen. And there's no form there, really. You know, it's not a perfect example, but it is not the same thing as what appears as all the movement. And you're in a very different place when you're identifying with or as that presence rather than all the stuff that seems to be superimposed on it.
The book, Consciousness and All, is not a new work, as I understand it. That was written back in the late 90s.
No, actually, no. I may have started. I'm trying to think. I started work on it in the late 90s. That's when I started working on it, and it took quite a while to write, for a number of reasons. Mainly because there was so much of how in the world are you going to say this? But I wanted it to be as clear and concise as possible. because it's saying things presenting a very different perspective from what most of us are used to. And so, it took a while, and the book was actually published not until late 2006, pretty much 2007.
I see.
Yeah.
So I'm interested a little bit. So in order to be able to articulate yourself clearly in a book the way that you have, and you have most likely have had this interest for a long time. You might have had a download all at once where, you received a vision.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in whether you were raised in a family that brought you close to these realizations, or a little bit biographically about you and about when you came to your interest in,
sure.
in non-duality.
Yeah. For the most part, my upbringing was rather normal. Kind of mundane, actually. I was part of a good family. There was no, we had our ups and downs as a family, but nothing extreme in any way. And there wasn't too much in the way of hardship. We were provided for. I went to grade school like a normal kid and through high school. At those times, I was raised Catholic because my father was, a pretty devout Catholic, and his family always had been. My mom was Protestant, but we seemed to go the Catholic route, and that was okay. I didn't really have any interest in spirituality or philosophy until I got into college and started doing some reading in a philosophy course, and we were exposed to some Eastern teachings, interestingly. And I went to the University of Notre Dame, a Catholic university, but in this one course, we were exposed to a lot of different things. And I just found something about the way that was presented was appealing, and though I didn't do a whole lot with it at the time. So after college, I went out, got a job in the business world, corporate America, and after a point, it just was, again, it was, a basic normal life, but there was something that was unsatisfying about it. And I didn't even know that it could be otherwise. I thought, well, this is just how it is. But I started poking around in bookstores, and like many of us have done, and somewhere at some point found some of the books on, you might call them self-help, or inspirational type books, even things like The Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale, and so on. And also somewhere along in there, I out of curiosity went to a meditation class and enjoyed that very much. But I don't know, I was the type I never would tell my friends about that I had done such a thing. It was a very private thing, and so it went on from there. Just reading one book after another, and I was led to, for some reason, some of them that were more sort of a Christian expression, even though I always enjoyed the Eastern too. But I had read books like Unity and Science of Mind, related to those, and Religious Science. Then I went on to the work of Joel Goldsmith and The Infinite Way for a number of years, which I enjoyed very much. And I had a teacher at the time I was living in New York City, and had a teacher there, Lorene McClintock, who was very helpful to me. And at some point, I came across the work of a man named Alfred Aiken, A-I-K-E-N.
Yes.
And he wrote from the standpoint of the absolute. And interestingly, he came out of...
He was in the late 50s and early 60s?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And interestingly, he came out of the medical profession. He was both a dentist and an MD, a surgeon in the Army in the 1940s. But and he became a Christian Scientist at one point, and then he was a very successful practitioner for a number of years, and then he felt there were some things that he just needed to go out and kind of do his own thing, which he did. And then he wrote about 9 books, the first of which was titled That Which Is. And when I read that, that just really did it for me. And in a nutshell, it was a change in perspective, because up until that point, it had always been about Peter, or this personal me, who was seeking, trying to find his way to a higher self, basically. And Aiken's work, for me, turned it completely around. And that
commercial?
That was that the one who is conscious, alive, existing, aware, is the self itself, or what you might call God. It's God that is being life or presence or any of these terms, the one, beingness, presence, and so on. And it is the only one that is being, that is alive, and it's already at itself. And as it is all the presence or life or being there is no other who could be separate or who could be approaching it. And that was like, that was the aha moment, or the light bulb went on. And, oh my gosh, of course, there's a body here called Peter, yes, but that's not a consciousness. It's consciousness that's conscious, and it appears to be conscious of this body too, but Peter's not doing the consciousness part. That's consciousness that's doing that, or life. And that, you know, from then on, the seeking stopped. It still is a matter of you don't stop there though, because you're infinite and you're always enjoying your unlimitedness. But all the attempts to try to get somewhere stop.
I'm going to take a quick break here, Peter, and we're going to come back and talk about practical manifestations of that.
Mm-hmm.
Those realizations.
Mm-hmm.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. We're talking to Peter Jubin, and we will be back shortly.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits? Wait a minute, you look great. Plastic surgery?
Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plastico's.
What's endermology?
Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone skin and contour the body. Endermology by Plastico's feels great, and you can see the difference it makes.
No kidding. Who do I call?
Plastico's, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plastico's at 770-457-4677. Plastico's Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show. This is your host, Dr. Rick Klofein. Temple of Health is brought to you by Plastico's Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery Practice and Millennium Healthcare, our holistic group practices in Dunwoody. You can reach Plastico's and Millennium at 770-457-4677. On the web at www.templeofhealth.com. WS. Some announcements for August for Millennium Healthcare and Plastico's. The radio show coming up this next Saturday, August 7th, will be Brigitte Mars, the Sexual Herbal, which is Brigitte is a really excellent herbalist and sexuality expert. Also, on the 14th will be Hillary Ramo, Bridging Dimensions. On the 21st, we're happy to have back Dr. Jekyll Teitelbaum, Beat Sugar Addiction Now. And on the 28th, happy to have back Dr. Norm Shealy, Medical Intuition, A Science of the Soul. Our Noetic Science meeting this month is on the 19th of August at 7:30, and it will be a free video viewing of the Quantum Activist. That's Dr. Amit Goswami, who we've had on the show a number of times. On August 12th, Dr. Brad Gould, our Holistic Family Practitioner, will be providing a free lecture on zero-point global products. Reach Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. We're speaking with Peter Francis Jubin. His article, The New True Infinity, brings a completely new perspective on the term infinity and really sort of dissects that term very carefully, because we use it to try to express concepts that are outside of its realm of use, it appears. Is that somewhat correct, Peter?
Yeah, that's very well said, Rick, actually. This article came up, or the idea for it came up when I was working on the book Consciousness Is All, and what it brings out seemed like a significant or important enough in a new kind of a point worth devoting at least an article to, and I may eventually turn it into a book too. It would be quite a task though. But the essence of it is that, and this ties right into what we were saying earlier about ways of, let's say, seeing or perspectives that are not limited to or beyond the realm of the thinking mind and senses that we seem to use so much in everyday experience, but which we all kind of know that there's something more beyond that. And this is sort of pointing to it in another way. And to me, it specifically for mathematics and science, it's like a way of saying, hey guys, take a look at this. Here is another completely different perspective, a way of seeing the big questions that we deal with in life that has somehow been overlooked for the most part. It's been talked about a little bit down through history, but not a whole lot. And it has to do with this notion of what infinity really is. It's a word we are all familiar with, but even myself, you know, I tended to have this sort of general concept that I had gotten a little bit through education or just hearing the word used here and there, and it just sounds like something really big, you know, unthinkably big or endlessly big. And like the, what's the movie, Toy Story, with the hero Buzz Lightyear, he uses the expression, to infinity and beyond. That kind of says it. Yet, there's another take on it, and another way of looking at it. And just to put it in perspective, let's take a look at the word finity or finite first, because they sound a little bit like mathematical, and sometimes they might be intimidating, but they sound like important words at the same time, and there's no reason to be intimidated by them and just, you know, be clear, okay, what are we talking about here? The word finite comes from the Latin or French words fini or finir, which basically means end. And when you go a little further with it, what finite means in everyday use in math and science is that you're speaking of something that is limited, something that is measurable, something that it's like a defined quantity. It's observable. You can point to it. And it has a, coming back to literally to the meaning of the word finite, fini, it has an ending somewhere that you can discern. It has a beginning somewhere. It's noticeable. And all those things relate to finite. And you can, examples of it are counting with numbers, or things like temperature or time, any amount of time, 2 seconds, 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 years. That's a chunk, a measurable chunk of something. And it's finite. Now, infinite traditionally has been taken to mean an endless version of something finite. In other words, with, let's say, numbers, maybe some of the listeners have had this example in grade school, but I was taught that infinity is like taking the number one and you can add another number to that, another one. So you got two. You can add another one to that and you have three. You can add another one to that. Now you have four, and go on just endlessly. And you can come up with a number that is beyond the capacity of human thinking to grasp. But in theory, you could go on forever. And that is infinity. And there are other variations on infinity when you get more and more into mathematics. We don't need to go into that here. I'm just sort of going through the main points. But another way of treating infinity is sort of going in the opposite direction, in the way of division. In other words, if you had a piece of paper that was 2 inches long, you could tear that paper in half, and now you've got one of the halves, which is 1 inch long, and you could take that half and tear that in half, and now you've got a half inch, and you could take that half of a half and tear it in half, and again, in theory, you're going to get down to a point where the paper is so small you can't pick it up with your fingers anymore, but then you could say, well, it gets down into the cellular structure and whatever, and it gets small and small. And in theory, you could still take half of that half. There's going to be something there, no matter how infinitesimal it is, but you could keep dividing in theory. And those are the sort of the two main, you know, notions of infinity that we have. And the thing about it is that in every case, this kind of infinity has started with finity. And it said it's some kind of endless version of finity. You start with something finite and then you either add to it or try to divide it. Now, when you look at the word infinite, if you examine it closely, it's made up of two parts, a prefix in and then the word finite, infinite. And strictly speaking, the prefix in means no or not. And so the word infinite then can be seen in a whole different way, which means no finity. And to say no finity is a very different thing from saying a finity that goes on forever. It means, in this new sense, infinity means no finity whatsoever. Infinity does not happen. So that means no quantity. It means, no counting, no amount, no beginning, no ending, no form, nothing observable, nothing measurable. And interestingly, that, whatever that is, that ungraspableness is exactly pointing to the very nature of pure consciousness, or other terms like presence or being. And that was just one thing that was I just found fascinating. There were a few philosophers, as one Greek philosopher, Plotinus in particular, and a number of others, who would describe finity as that which is beyond number. And yet, still, there's a matter of having started with number and then said, okay, this is something beyond that. But what if you start with pure infinity all by itself, where number never happens? It's a whole different perspective. And, right away, the thinking mind says, well, this is totally useless. You can't do anything with it. And yet, it's a sort of a new platform or a stance or perspective from which one can look at the types of some of the big questions that we face in science today. And just one of them is a big question that has been an issue for years, is whether what we call the stellar universe is finite or infinite. That's a unresolved question these days. And from this new perspective of infinity as meaning no quantity, no form, no size, you get an answer to that question. Because a universe that is expanding is dealing exclusively in size. You know, you could say it's so many million miles from the Earth to the Sun, or so many light years to this distant galaxy. And while that's an extremely large distance, it is potentially measurable. You could chop it into chunks and, you know, say there's so much here, so much there. So that makes the universe finite. Even if it goes on endlessly, it's still finite, because true infinity has no size. So it can't be talking about something, it can't be the same as something that appears to be increasing or expanding in its size, which the universe appears to be doing.
When I was a kid and we first started talking about these concepts, the usual example that was given was about the universe, was it went on infinite, it was infinite, it went on in every direction forever. But even by just talking about it in the context of having a direction,
right,
limits it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, where infinity comes in terms of this endlessness or this sense of the universe, is that it's interesting, but I would urge anyone listening to examine for themselves, is that see if there is any of what is called the stellar universe that can be said to exist outside of or apart from consciousness. And you can't. You definitely can say that the universe appears to be outside of my body. I mean, the other side of this room that I'm sitting in right now is definitely outside of my body, the body Peter, and the buildings across the street, and, you know, the rest of the country. All of that appears to be outside of the body, but nothing is outside of consciousness. Nothing can be said to exist outside of or be greater than or beyond consciousness. And that's where, and consciousness is that infinity. They're two different words for the same unlimited, boundless stuff.
I think part of the problem is that, so, you know, it seems like there should be a completely different word for what we're talking about than infinity.
Yeah, that's right.
It seems like, you know, when people use the usual concept of infinity as the way that it's been used by the vast majority of people over the years, that really is talking about something completely different than what you're talking about.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And
is it a semantical problem that there should be, actually, there should just be another word because it's something, a completely different concept?
I don't know. It could be. And that's where you come back to words like presence or unlimitedness or whatever it might be. I chose to say with this article, sort of, you know, hey guys, here's a totally different kind of infinity, only to sort of point back to so many of the questions that science is trying to answer and say, hey, here's another way of looking at these questions. Again, it's sort of another perspective. Another example of this is when I don't know if many of the listeners are familiar with, but a big deal in physics is whether or not there is some kind of last irreducible particle that can be found. We get down to the quantum level of these almost indescribable small particles or bits of energy or quanta, as they're called. And, you know, there's always been this issue. Well, is that as small as it gets? Or are we going to find something smaller? Or are we going to find something still smaller? And it goes back to, as we were saying earlier, with the example of dividing the piece of paper into smaller and smaller halves and chunks. As long as you've got something there, something finite there, at least theoretically, it would seem there is the potential for further division, even though it may seem at the moment that we've got it down as small as it can get. But just think, you know, 100 years ago, all of the discoveries that have been made about the quantum level were totally unknown, you know, or back in Isaac Newton's day when it was a mechanistic universe. Quantum was unheard of, and so who's to say that something else might not come along? And
things that we take for granted every day.
Every day.
50 years ago, 75 years ago, people would laugh if you told them that that's
going to
be available.
Yeah. And now, interestingly, look at what we were talking about, this new sort of version of infinity. There's nothing there, in a sense. There's no quantity. There's no amount, no size. In other words, there's no end, no form. So there's nothing there that can be reduced. In other words, there's no matter. There's, you know, there's no even energy. There's no kind of form to be reduced. So there's that which the true meaning of irreducible is actually that which has nothing to reduce in the first place. It's not like starting with some kind of reduction and going down, 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 down. That's not real irreducibility. Real irreducibility is having nothing that you could even reduce to begin with. And that is what this infinity is. And I don't think we have time, today, but this infinity also is an exact synonym for being and consciousness, as I define, at least as I define the word consciousness. Distinct from all the phenomena one seems to be conscious of, but pure consciousness. But being, for example, cannot be said to have any form either. Has any scientist ever put being in a test tube or, you know, put it through some kind of spectrometer and done an analysis on it or any of kinds of those things? No. And because it can't be measured, and rightly so, in science, being is, a term like being is useless, really, because it, you know, you can't conduct experiments, and that's what science is all about, conducting experiments and testing and repeating as, you know, as well it should be.
Dr. Susan Kolb is with us.
So.
Oh, super. Susan, are you with us?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh.
I couldn't get somebody
it's
to
no
answer
problem.
The phone to give me the number.
Oh, hi, Susan.
Hey,
it's
how you
no
doing?
No problem.
Good.
Sorry, I'm late.
Actually, I think what we'll do is take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll have one more follow-up session before the end of the show.
Okay.
Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally. You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
And welcome back to Temple of Health Radio Show. We're interviewing Peter Jubin and his book, Consciousness is All, his article, The New True Infinity. I'm your co-host, Dr. Rick Klofen, and we have Dr. Susan Kolb with us today. We've had our announcements. So, Peter, this would be a great time if you have any contact information you'd like to provide our listening audience.
Sure. I have a website, which is www.consciousnessisall.com. And Consciousness is All is all run together. And if anyone would like to get in touch, they can do so through the website. I would be thrilled to hear from people. There's a contact form on the website that you can use. And if we've piqued anyone's interest today with this beginning discussion of infinity, the article is available on the website as a small sort of ebook for $9.95. And there's also a free excerpt of another book that I had started to write and haven't quite finished yet, called So Be It, How the Nature of Being Helps Answer Some of Life's Biggest Questions. And it's talking right in the same territory that we were talking just earlier concerning the nature of infinity and how a different definition of infinity gives it just a different perspective from which to look at some of these big questions that we deal with.
So I have a question for you, Peter. It's kind of a chop wood, carry water, practical kind of question.
Yes.
And so when people read your book and we discuss these concepts that we're discussing,
mm-hmm.
And people come to a greater realization
mm-hmm.
of what you're talking about intellectually, mm-hmm. Is there benefit in their life from just coming to that awareness?
Oh,
or is it the beginning of other personal work they can do? Or what would you suggest someone do to allow those ideas to manifest?
I would say get fascinated, so to speak, with what the real nature, and through inquiry in one's own present experience, without getting conceptual or theoretical, just examine what oneself is, and what's the distinction between that and all the things that, let's say, we seem to be conscious of. What you are is pure consciousness, and what you seem to be conscious of, and that is a very freeing thing, because we're taught. Or we're not taught, maybe, a lot of times when we're, you know, brought up in life, that we are our thoughts, these thoughts that occur, and that we are the same as our emotions and feelings, and we get tied in and very limited by them, and the, you know, limited outlook and beliefs and so on. Yet, what this sort of perspective makes clear, and inquiry makes clear, is that one's real nature is a state of purity, of fresh, new life, which has no conditioning. It's just a pure intelligence. And from here, one then can go through the day, and we use thinking, we use our feelings, but rather than being used by them, I'll put it that way. That's just a very, very simple, basic advantage of it. But over in a general sense, we're no longer as limited by all of the things that what seems to be, you know, mistaken conditioning tries to impose on us. You're free from all of that. And that extends into relationships in at home, in the workplace, in financial things, in health, the health of the body, all across the board.
And achieving that state just from the intellectual understanding?
No, it's a matter of, as I was saying, like inquiry and, for example, in consciousness as well, there much of it is experiential in the sense of, okay, it might talk about consciousness or pure awareness and make a distinction between that and the thoughts one, let's say, seems to be aware of, and then it'll bring you back and it'll say, okay, now this pure awareness, this present awareness that's here right now, what is it in terms of its own pure presence? It's like an aliveness, it's a stillness, it's a peace. It's not the same thing as the commotion of thinking. And it will, you know, ask you, what is it to abide here, to rest here, and basically stay here? Because this is you as you really are. You are here. You don't have to get here. You are here. It's a matter of not getting drawn in by all of the other things that try to make you assume that's what you are, such as the thoughts and the feelings. And, you know, so it can be like a bit of a practice. A lot of times meditation is wonderful, or like I say, a quiet pondering, just to keep this effortlessly present. Another big part of it, too, is that no work is required to make consciousness or presence be present. It is present. That's a big part of it. It doesn't have to be made to be present. Might seem we ignore it and go running off with thoughts and feelings, and you have to bring attention back, and you may have to do that repeatedly, but it's not meant to be any kind of a struggle. Just sort of get fascinated with how effortlessly consciousness is conscious and how always it is conscious, and it never fails to show up, never fails to be. And so,
do you travel and teach?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. You know, it depends on... I'm sorry?
Well, I was curious about the teaching you do, whether you go give lectures, you do weekend workshops, or...
Both, actually. I gave was a one-day lecture recently, not this past weekend, the weekend before, right here locally in Arizona. It was about an hour from me in Sedona. And I go to, I don't know, because of I live in Arizona, and I've gone to Southern California most frequently because that's close. But I used to live in New York and would give some talks in New York. And, you know, if there's a request and a big enough interest, I'll go anywhere.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
When was it that you wrote this article, The New True Infinity?
In 2008. And I keep, it's like a work in progress too. I have it on the website as an ebook right now, but, you know, I continue to, as new insights come along, I continue to incorporate them in it.
And, feedback that you've gotten, have you had, so usually when people can present radical concepts, although, you know, I'm not sure there should be a radical concept, but radical concepts,
yes.
They get, have you had resistance as well as welcoming to your concepts?
Ed, that's interesting, Rick. From people who visit my website, who most of the time are interested in spirituality, and if they were to read the Infinity piece, they get it for the most part, and they embrace it and say, yes, this is a new way of, or this is just another way of describing what we've been, all of us have been pointing to all along in terms of presence and so on. I recently contacted a man, he's a professor at Oxford University in the UK, Adrian Moore, who wrote one of the, I'd say, better known, widely accepted scholarly works on infinity in several years ago. The title of the book is The Infinite. And I contacted him and sent him a copy of this article, and he acknowledged he had received it. He was busy. He's going to get back to me. I'm very interested to hear his take on it. And then other than that, this fall I will be a presenter at the Science and Non-Duality Conference in San Rafael in October.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I believe it's in October, and this Infinity will be the subject of my talk there. And so I'm very much looking forward to that.
Well, we're moving into the last... Go ahead, Susan.
I just wanted to say, Peter, that your work has really helped me understand the concept when Buddha said, I am no different from you, I am simply awake.
Mm.
And somehow that struck me as a very important statement coming from a master. And I think what your work shows us how to do is how to wake up and realize that our beingness is present in this place called infinity, not within the manifested worlds of vibration.
Exactly.
And I think that's what masterhood is. It's waking up to that realization and becoming a realized being, because you realize you are not in time and space. You are outside of it, or even in a place where time and space are just simply illusions.
Right. Yeah, very well said. That's exactly it. And that, in a sense, as Buddha said, that infinite beingness or presence really is the only one, with the capital O, so to
speak. Right.
So in a sense, we all are the same in that sense, yet it seems, speaking relatively, that some of us seem to be clinging to more, all of us to some degree, clinging to
right.
you know, more of the relative or the time and space part. But, yeah.
Well, I salute your work. It's very unique, and really appreciate you writing it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's always wonderful to hear. It's a thrill to be able to do, and very gratifying to hear that. Thank you, Susan.
We're moving into the last minute or two of the show, Peter. Would you like to give our messengers, our listeners, a brief inspirational message?
I would say that just know that this present life, right here, right now, not afar off anywhere, is unlimited, it's utterly pure, and it's brand new every so-called moment, itself having no history, no prior issues, nothing it needs to work out of, when one identifies oneself as this pure presence alone. It's not personal in any way whatsoever, but it is unwithholdably present, infallibly present. Try anyone right now to make awareness or being go away. Good luck, can't do it. And it cannot be made to be more present. It's effortless, it's simple, and this is the real you.
Thank you so much. This is Temple of Health Radio Show. Your co-host, Dr. Rick Lofine and Dr. Susan Kolb, are pleased to have had the opportunity to talk with Peter Francis Jubin. His book, Consciousness is All, Now Life is Completely New. Thank you so much for being with us, Peter.
Thank you so much, too, Rick. It's a pleasure. I always love talking with you both, and it was just a wonderful opportunity. And again, I thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Temple of Health
Okay.
This is Temple of Health Radio Show, signing off and hoping everyone has a great day.